Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium Miguel. It's your favorite Uncle Silk.
It's Dan.
And Delatory.
Same corner, same time, man. Not as high spirits as last week, but nonetheless, man, through all kinds of weather, we back kicking it, man. How y'all boys feeling?
I'm feeling good. Last time you guys talked to me, I was in Hawaii. I've come back a little bit more tan, What a place. If you get the chance, go check it out. But it's good to be back in Tampa, good to be back in Florida. Was enjoying a nice game. My flight had just landed, game had just kicked off, and unfortunately we saw what happened, but it's good to be back in the Sunshine State. Nick, buddy, how was Gainesville? Silk, you were there too.
Bro, I told my fiance Dan was going to Hawaii, and it was his 50th state, and she said, What two does he have left? And I went, excuse me? What? Puerto Rico and
is she a teacher? Been there too.
she is not teaching our children. No.
No, no.
Kids will not be homeschooled.
Nice.
It was a different weekend. Good vibes in the stadium. Not Utah. Not the same as the opener. But it was another good crowd and just not the outcome, man.
It felt like, just before we get into all the breakdowns, so I get into town, and I went there like 30 minutes, and the bottom drops out of the sky. I hit Nick up. I was trying to link. Nick was like, I'm not leaving the house, bro. Not until the time to kick off. No, it was ugly, man. Just an ugly day.
Biblical rain all week.
Yeah, it was wild, man. It felt like Dan Mullen's first Kentucky game.
Like, oh, yeah.
It was a crowd, but it wasn't a crowded tailgate because of the rain, you know, right. Like the rain ran people away. So it was a late go at it with the tailgate. The stadium filled in. Everybody was kind of, you know, I don't know. It didn't feel in the same as Utah, I don't think, but the crowd was there.
But it was also like a choppy game. It was like, There was no pace to it. It was like injury, commercial break, timeout, commercial break, review, it was just like there was no flow to the game. I think that kind of took the fans out of it as well. Like it got loud. Just a weird game, no flow. So it was just a weird Saturday night. Other than that, not much to report, Dan. It certainly wasn't Hawaii.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the game. Let's shout out Alan Horn first so we can get into it without forgetting him. And we do have a new sponsor for the show today, which I'm excited to share with you a little bit later today. But as always, the title sponsor for Stadium and Gale is Alan Horn Insurance. Alan is a State Farm agent in Jasper, Georgia. So if you need auto, home, life, business insurance, RV insurance, boat insurance, whatever it may be in Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, or Alabama, give him a call at 706-692-2888 or Alan Horn, that's Alanhorne, insurance.com. Again, in Florida, Georgia, Alabama, or Tennessee, 706-692-2888. All right, guys, let's get into the game a little bit. Silk, you said the tailgating scene just wasn't as vibrant and popping.
I didn't know what the weather was like, but it got pretty ugly. Still got to get around a little bit. Saw Dave, Gator Dave, and those guys pulled up on the Gator Collective's tailgate, which is right by Gator Walk. It was still a good vibe. It just wasn't as full, you know, because of the rain. The weather kind of damped a few things, but I had a good time, man. Outside of the L, you know, Gainesville was Gainesville. Good vibes. Went over to Social. Went by Relish. I couldn't do my old Relish, so I got a veggie burger at Relish. Still fixed my. I got my fix. You know, why you looking like that, Nick? Don't look like that, bro. You're muted.
Getting a black bean burger at Relish. Disgusting.
And I like black beans.
Yeah, black bean burger not too bad. It's better than a veggie burger, in my opinion.
No, it's a veggie burger.
guess what's in the forecast for Saturday at 82% this upcoming Saturday?
Sadness at Relish. That's what's in the forecast. My goodness.
Yeah.
Sadness.
About to be sadness in the in Ben Hill Griffin Stadium too. Looks like rain again on Saturday,
bro. It's rained I think every day for six weeks. It just. We just it's like SpongeBob here. I live in a pineapple under the sea.
Bikini Bottom, man.
Bikini Bottom.
Is your lawn looking lush?
It's out of control. I can't cut it enough. I'm gonna give up soon.
All right, boys. Let's talk about the game. Gators do lose to the number 20 at the time ranked Kentucky Wildcats, second year in a row. First time they've lost two games in a row, pardon me, to the Wildcats since 1976 and 1977, years before anybody on this podcast was born. Kentucky and Florida. Florida was up 16 to 13 at halftime. At one point, they were up 16 to 7. I believe 16 to 9. Ultimately, giveaways, a lack of consistency, really kind of a lack of a true offensive game plan and identity. We saw defense played well. Want to talk a little bit about them after we get through the offensive struggles. But I think even before we get into the game, very strange game overall. I thought, Nick, you mentioned the pace of the game. I thought that the penalties were called very oddly. Seemed like a very poorly refereed game. And I'm not just saying that on behalf of the Gators. I'm just saying that on behalf of the entire game. There was a lot of missed holds. There's a lot of question marks on what roughing the passer is or is not, what targeting is or is not. But certainly a very strangely called game from a refereeing perspective. You guys have any thoughts on that?
I like to do the refs last. I'm gonna be self accountable first before I blame the refs. But yeah, it was a strangely called game. I just thought I didn't get it. We talked a lot all offseason about the ratio of run to pass, and I thought it would be closer to 50-50 than more of 60-40. 60-40 is just hard to do in today's football. With the way football's played, man, you got to pitch the ball around a little bit. But for him to come back and drop back and throw the ball 34 times was just mind-boggling to me. It wasn't the offense that I expected to see. I thought we was going to lay on people and run down people's throat. I just think the analytics, man, and the nerd part of football is affecting the play calling, in my opinion. I don't know if it's how true it is, but it seems to be true. If the numbers are not there, he's checking out and throwing the ball. And there's some opportunities when he's throwing the ball. So I'm not mad at those calls, but I think at some point you got to look at your quarterback. He's having an inaccurate night. Let's lean on the strength of our team instead of, you know, going by the numbers and what's supposed to happen when we see these looks. So I just didn't like that, man. It didn't feel like there was any chemistry to the play calling. No, you know, it's no touch to it, man. It was just like a set game plan. They was gonna go by what the defense give them and go with it, but I just didn't feel it, man. We should have been running the ball. The average per rush is something like 7 yards, something crazy. ETN looked great. That's another thing. I think ETN needs to touch the ball more. Him and two, just better than five, man. And it's not personal. It's just what it is. You can see a different type of spark when those guys got the ball. But we should be leaning on the run. And I don't know by design. There's some smoke out there about maybe Anthony being hurt. Anthony Richardson being hurt and them not running him as much. I'm not sure how true that is, but we're going to have to run the ball. If we're not going to run him steady and often, then I don't know how successful we're going to be this season because everything's predicated off the run game and largely him running the ball as well, in my mind.
Yeah, and like Billy said it, he's like, you know, we have to let Anthony be Anthony. He said this, I think, in like SC Media Days, like, and that is running. I think after talking to some people, I think Anthony got in his own head. He's not hurt. He's fine. I think he got a little spooked because he kind of got rolled up on his very first pass. but that wasn't like a lingering thing with it, with his ankle or his foot. I think he just got in his own head and all off season, like I said, like, hey, if Anthony gets hurt, like this team is totally different. And he knows that. I think the entire team knows that. So he's trying not to get hurt. I think he sees this passing quarterback, Will Levis, come in, and he got into his mind, like, I'm going to show – there were 15 NFL teams at that game. I think he got into his mind and was like, I'm going to show these scouts that are here that I can be him. I can be the other guy. I don't have to run. I don't have to rely on my legs. That I can outpass Will Levis. And I think he got into his own head forcing the issue. And checking out, like you said, Silk, and throwing more. And it's just like, hey, man, they don't want you to be that. They want you to be Anthony Richardson. There's a difference. You don't have to be – you're not Peyton Manning. You're not Tom Brady. You're a special talent. You've got stuff that other people just physically can't do, physically don't have. And I think he just got away from what makes him special and tried to force the issue passing the ball. And like
some of those, he just got to make though. Some of them throws is just wide open people. He just got to make.
That's the stuff though that we saw and I talked about in the spring and talked about in the fall. He doesn't have a changeup yet. Everything's hard. When he misses high. Also, I don't like the so the pick six was they keep doing it. They keep motioning like Xander's out wide or you know Naquan out wide and like bro, you're just playing 10 on 11 now. Like why are you trying to throw a hitch to your running back to the far side of the field? Like what is that? If you're going to do that, throw it to someone else. Don't throw it to the running back.
Oh, I don't those plays don't seem to be working right now. Even when they send it, they throw it out to Xavier Henderson on the bubble screen. That we're not blocking great on it. The person that's like Xavier
Henderson, I don't think this east to west passing game. It's just like
yeah, I don't like it.
If you're going to do it, throw it to Ricky. That's the guy that's going to make people miss. Like you're throwing it to Shorter, you're throwing it to Hendo. Like these guys aren't breaking tackles. They're not making people miss. They're not shaking anyone. I thought it was a pretty uninspiring game.
For sure.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of question marks both on the plays that were called and both the plays that were run. I think that you saw Anthony Richardson make a couple of odd handoffs when he could have otherwise kept the ball. I think you saw that on a Naquan Wright carry that he got tackled behind the line of scrimmage. There's a lot of the RPO stuff that just didn't seem to work. And Nick, I think you hit the nail on the head with Anthony probably getting in his own head. Maybe it was the scouts. Maybe it was the game. Maybe it was the enthusiasm and excitement that everybody was, you know, and I'm not saying that he got too big for his britches, but maybe there was just the excitement and energy of the past week. You know, sometimes you try to overcorrect and you really try to probably maybe even exceed or try to make it to that next level when you really didn't need to. You know, Florida didn't need Anthony Richardson to be perfect. They didn't really need him to be as good as he was even against Utah. They just needed him to be consistent and not turn the ball over and make a couple of plays. But Silk, you mentioned it, you know, just looking back at the stats from the game, Montrell Johnson running 8.86 yards per carry against Kentucky. Trevor Etienne 5.11 yards on 9 carries, including a touchdown. Naquan Wright, just not there. You know, I think I had higher expectations for Naquan Wright this year. First game of the season, averages 3.9 yards on 10 carries. Second game of the season, averages 3 yards on 8 attempts. But Anthony Richardson, I don't know, maybe got in his head. I don't know what it was, but certainly the two interceptions, one was a little bit more understanding than the other one, but that pick six was a pretty horrific mistake. And I know that he's in just his third game as a starter. And you can't expect the world. And I think that I was a little less bullish on him than maybe some of the media were before the season started to say, hey, there was a lot of mistakes made last year. I still think that there's a lot of area of opportunity. But, you know, for Florida to win and for Florida to get those 8 or 9 wins this season, they're just going to have to avoid, you know, turnovers and mistake football. And, you know, unfortunately, but then this time.
Yeah. And then we're going to, there's going to be a steady question of, do we need an OC unless his offense is humming and it's going beautifully, we're going to keep questioning or the fans are going to keep questioning whether or not we need an OC. So it's something to keep monitoring. Defensive side of the ball, man, you cannot be mad at what Pastor Tony's putting on the field. I think the linebackers got barbecued in a lot of situations. But overall, they gave up some real estate when they got to the red zone. They buckled down and did what they had to do, just like versus Hawaii, man. I said in the offseason, I was at most Utah. I'm sorry. You was in Hawaii.
I was in Hawaii, yeah.
For sure. I said it's in the offseason. That's all I'm mostly excited about. Seeing Patrick Toney's defense. I think he's a young, smart, bright mind in the defensive room. And when he upgrades the talent at linebacker and safety, it's going to get even better. But scheme-wise, game plan-wise, I thought Patrick Toney had a great game plan. And the defense did enough to win the ball game. It's a team sport, but when you give up two turnovers and just giving away 14 points like that, it's hard to win in the SEC, man.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how long we're going to have Patrick Toney in Gainesville, but he's cooking. Like, he's going to be a head coach sooner rather than later. I mean, Utah gave, and Florida did a better job against the run, but Utah gave the blueprint. Florida's linebackers, and it wasn't just Brant Keithy, like, Florida's linebackers are not good in coverage. And we've seen that for 4 and 5 years with Ventrell and Amari. I don't think Ventrell is going to be able to play this week, so you're going to get a lot more Scooby and you're going to get a lot more Shamar. And maybe those guys, I mean, they're young. They might take some lumps because they're green. But maybe they'll cover better. We'll see. You're going to get some more playing time for those two.
Yeah, and I think beyond even just the big names, Gervon Dexter had an interception in the game. Justice Boone was everywhere. Brenton Cox had a lot of great plays in that game as well. Caused I don't know if it was a sack or what it was, but it was definitely pushed. I think it was the right guard into the running back for a loss. Brenton Cox played really well. The defense as a whole was great. Nick, you mentioned it. Linebackers cannot cover. I think it was late in the first half, or maybe it was early in the second half. But they were just driving down the field, doing the same play, just that dump off to the tight end 8-10 yards out, and they're just going and getting bulk pickup in yards. And whether they're scoring or not, every drive they're still going to get those bulk yards, and they're still going to stay on the field. And unfortunately for Florida, it was just not enough. Want to just go back to offense real quick. Any highlights? Oh, go ahead.
No, sorry if I moved from offense too fast. My bad.
No, you're good. I thought the offensive line wasn't as strong as I anticipated them to be. Maybe against Utah, maybe it was a little bit more of the physicality. Maybe it was just the game overall. When you aren't able to get the ball off and you're not making plays, and you're consistently doing it over and over and over and over again, you might just wear out a little bit. But I was expecting maybe a little bit more out of the offensive line. I thought Osiris Torrance played really well. One thing that I'm still noticing is just the absolute lack of really any presence by the tight end, both in blocking and in receiving. There's definitely nothing there as a receiving threat, but overall just that tight end room is just not great right now, to be respectful.
No doubt. I think blocking from tight ends and wide receivers have to get better with a lot of the plays and the offense they're running. I wasn't impressed by the blocking on the outside. I think the offensive line blocking would have been better if we had a mentality that game of just laying on these people. Mm-hmm. It just didn't feel like we had that mentality. Pass protecting and run blocking is just two totally different things. When we ran the ball, I thought the run game looked fine. The guys got to the second level, got some hats on things. And also we kept them. They was off balance when we ran the ball. I didn't get it, man. We'll have big runs, get on that other side of the field, and then go throw three straight. It just didn't make sense to me, the play calling, man. But I thought the offensive line is just a rhythm thing. Offensive line, just like running backs, it's just a rhythm thing. And we just never got in rhythm. If we'd have ran the ball more, I think we'd have put that game away. The two turnovers were wet passes. Yep. We just got to take care of the ball better and put our team in position. And Billy's going to take his lumps, man. Even some of the calls he made. We could talk about the play calling and going forward on fourth a little later. But Billy's going to take his lumps early. He's still coming from Louisiana. He's still a young head football coach. There's a lot to learn. So we're gonna take some lumps here. We got a young quarterback and a young QB and a young head coach.
Well, and you have a team that's full of deficits, right? I mean, Florida went 6-7 last year. Didn't recruit very well. Those are the guys that are playing now. You know, Florida was definitely helped by, you know, Kyle Trask over the last few years and Kyle Pitts and a couple of Kadarius Toney, you know, a couple of the big names, big playmakers. And you know, while Florida has some talent, they don't have those game changers, right? Anthony Richardson could be one day and, you know, maybe this was just a fluke and he gets back into it. Everybody's, you know, see it.
Maybe in another game, Dan, but this Kentucky game, that we should have won this game.
Oh, no, yeah. Absolutely. No, yeah. I'm just saying overall, you know, Florida is still a rebuild team. I mean, right. You know, even though Kentucky's not that good, they are ranked number 9 in the country right now. I don't think that they're going to be, you know, world beaters. I don't think that they're going to make the playoff or anything, but you know, they were picked 2nd in the SEC for a reason. They're a decent team. They have a pretty good quarterback and Florida's in a rebuild. And if you were to tell any Florida fan, you know, 2 months ago that they'd be 1-1 right now, they'd probably be like, yeah, that's pretty expectant. You know, it's probably the reverse of what they thought would happen in the win loss. But you know, there's a lot of people that thought Florida might be 1-3 in the first 4 games. And I don't think that that's possible, you know, anymore, but you know, Florida's still a work in progress. I don't know if this is a statement game for anybody and I don't want to read too much into it. And you know, the message boards have already fired, you know, Billy Napier, they've sat Anthony Richardson. They're starting Jalen Kitna. They're starting a walk on. I mean, the entire thing is just throw it out and start over again.
Yeah. I think kind of going to what Silk said, like I said all offseason, like, oh, I thought the play call would be like 60-40 run to pass. I think it needs to be. Like, you have a line that can lean on people. You've got 2 really good running backs, 3 potentially really good running backs, and Anthony Richardson can be special with his legs. Like, you just need to – not to make yourself one-dimensional, but you need to impose your will because Florida should be able to run the ball on probably every team, maybe outside of Georgia, on their schedule. And I think you just need to just – start imposing your will on teams, and they did not against Kentucky. They tried to throw the ball too much. I don't know if that was Napier calling it or if Anthony's checking out of plays because he sees a certain look. But listen, just run the ball until they stop you.
Right. Also, like, just watching the game, I was at the game, so it's different watching it on TV. A lot of the vibes, you just catch different vibes. There's certain vibes you can catch on TV, certain you can catch at games. I was watching the sidelines. It seemed like a whole lot of fight. I didn't see urgency. We were flat. I was looking for some leadership on the sidelines. And I'm from afar now, so I don't hear what's being said. But I'm from afar. I didn't see anybody rallying the guys in any leadership. So it's still a team also looking for vocal leadership and also physical leadership on the field. I'm seeing a little bit on the defensive side of the field, you know, and that comes with success. But on the offensive side of the ball, I'm still trying to find some leadership. I don't know, like it's game 2. So you got to give these young boys room to grow.
Right.
As a quarterback, who AR is, who he, you know, his brand or everything, his leadership, he exudes leadership into that game in Kentucky. So I think as a leader, he got to like lead a little better. Even if you're down, even if you're winning, if you're having a bad day, you still got to lead.
Yeah. So why don't you do a quick Gramco ad read, and then I want to talk a little bit more about that.
One time for the great folks at Gramco, be sure to use the Gramco.com for all your THC Delta 8 products. Use coupon code SG25 at checkout for 25% off of gummies, wake and bake coffee, pre-rolls, and also soluble powder. Again, the coupon code is SG25 at checkout for 25% off.
Yeah, Nick, I know that you've probably dissected the game a little bit more from that perspective. Definitely notice Anthony Richardson probably not being as vocal. Definitely a guy that was standing by himself, kind of looked, I don't want to say disinterested or not engaged, but definitely looked to be, you know, probably mentally hard on himself. Is that something you noticed as well?
He was definitely, when he came into his press conference, like he looked like he'd been crying, like his eyes were red. He had some personal stuff go on with losing a friend earlier this year. I don't know if that was weighing on him. He's definitely hard on himself, and I really think maybe not totally now, but I think last week he let the totality of everything, like he's in a position to make money that will set his grandchildren up, and that's you can't think about that, but I think he's been thinking about that. Like, if I get hurt, that's gone. If I throw an interception, that's gone. And then he throws one, or he throws a ball high and it's incomplete. And I think he just let things snowball on him. And he's not young. Like, he's 21. That's still, I guess, young. But he's just maybe mentally not mature enough to be like, okay, that pass is gone. Forget about it. Move on to the next play. I think he just kind of let things snowball. And that's what I think. Because people are like, oh, he has bad body language on the sideline. And I think he was just thinking too much.
Yeah, I think part of it is this is nothing as Anthony Richardson as a competitor. I've met him, a great guy. Don't know his internal competitive, you know, vibe and spirit. I think some of that just goes to the fact that, you know, Gainesville High School, I think one year they did okay, but didn't play a ton of meaningful games.
Eastside.
Eastside High School. I think they had one pretty decent season. Other than that, a lot of, you know, losses there. Comes to Florida, has some good games against USF, goes in, plays against Georgia, you know, throws, you know, three interceptions there, comes in, you know, sparingly to play a couple of times, you know, after that. But, you know, for the most part, I don't think he's really put himself in a lot of position to have a lot of adversity, or to have to overcome that adversity and have that short memory. And I think that you're seeing that. And I think that's just going to come with, you know, game reps and time, right? He's a redshirt sophomore, right? So he's 21 years old. You know, everybody's been hearing about him, you know, since he came onto campus. And, you know, with Dan Mullen recruiting him, obviously people compared him to Dak and Cam and Tim Tebow and everything else. But, you know, he still doesn't have a ton of meaningful snaps under his belt. He has, what, about 100 total at UF. So he's got to learn that. It's just going to come with time.
And all three of his starts, he's only had three starts. All three of his starts have been against top 20 teams.
Right.
So –
yeah, Mark Stoops had a great game plan as well, but I want to talk more to like just this game, man. He got an early lesson, like, you know, SEC Network comes into town, Tebow comes into town. You know, everybody's feeling me as a big win week one. Everybody, the Heisman campaign start. You know, I'm hyping him up. You know, everybody's hyping him, and then he come back this week, and I'm pretty sure he felt a disappointment as he's sitting on the sidelines. He knows. You know, what's being said and the consequences of that energy. But it's a good lesson for him, man. And I don't think this season's over for him. I still think he's going to have a big season. I think he learned a lot. I think Billy learned a lot from this game. And I don't expect him to just, you know, just to snowball into a season thing. I still think he's going to have a very good season. It was just a lesson learned from a lot of fronts, man. And we'll see if he's the dog that we think he is, man, because he just need an opportunity to bounce back. And I know he's itching for that with South Florida, opportunity to get some work in. But I'm gonna be honest about what I saw, you know, and I think he needs to improve on. But everything else, man, outside of like not using his strongest attributes and them like using our best weapon and the best capabilities is what cost us that game. Most importantly, and they got to figure out the offense. It's just like the identity. What is this Florida team gonna be? Because we was on that 60-40 train, Nick, and I don't know if they totally on that, man. The nerves is taking over with a lot of analytic ball, in my opinion.
All right, bro. Well, get on. They need to get on the train. Buy your ticket. The train needs
to be 50-50. I think we could go like whatever, but you just can't be. He can't drop back 34 times and throw this 30, thing around.
35-6. That's not Anthony Richardson. You're not letting him.
Nobody
be there.
Asked Cam to do that. Nobody asked Tebow to do that. You got to ask this guy, like these guys at this part in their maturation weren't asked to drop back 34 times and throw in pit. And take a part of Mark Stoops' defense is ranked 20th. It's not his strong suit.
And so I don't know too. So like I can tell when it plays an RPO because you can tell what the receiver's doing. But then right. People are like, "Oh, Ant was hurt. He's not handing the ball off on this read option." I'm like, "Well, I don't know if it's a read option. That could just be a regular handoff.
Right.
And unless you know." But everyone's saying like, "Oh, well he wasn't taking it because he was hurt and he didn't want to run." I'm like, you don't know that that's – it could look like a read option, but it might be designed to look like a read option and
it's – basic dive.
Yeah. So I don't know. But like, to your point, I mean, there's just – you can't say any plainer. 35-6 is not the run-pass ratio that Anthony Richardson needs to have.
Yeah, I'm with you. Defensive wise, what do you thought about the secondary? Are we done with offense? Are we done?
Yeah. One other thing, Michael Tarquin goes down. I thought Austin Barber played all right. He had a really nice pull on ETN's touchdown run. Mm-hmm. Young player, and we'll see how long Tarquin's out. We'll find out Wednesday, I think. But I don't really feel like there's a big drop off with Austin Barber, even though he's young and really good. Just getting his first reps right now.
That's the only fire I've seen was when Tarquin got hurt. He showed a little fire leaving the field. But outside of that, it was missing a little fire from the offense and energy, man.
Bro, him and Ethan White look like they could be in like an 80s rock band.
I thought it was Ethan that got injured. Shout out to Ryan Bush, man. We were sitting in the seats and we was having a debate back and forth if it was Tarquin or Ethan White. And I was like, I don't think Tarquin got a head of hair like that, bro.
You know they have big numbers on their jerseys, right?
Yeah, 70 and 77, but we're still arguing about just because of the hair. We didn't know Tarquin had like long hair. Yeah. So we're like, nah, we seen long hair go to the tent. Whatever.
Nick has the entire player guide in front of him, and and you don't know the difference between 70 and 77 on game two. So shame on you, buddy.
Right.
Quick, we'll get on to defense before we do that. Homefieldapparel.com. Saw a number of people on TV wearing the Home Field Apparel shirts that they got. Hopefully they use promo code Stadium and Gale and got 15% off of their order. Go visit them. 17 different items for UF and a bunch of different schools. I mean, some NFL teams. Go visit them. Homefieldapparel.com. Promo code Stadium and Gale for 15% off. Hugh comes in. How about that defense? Except for zero. Shout out to him for the super chat donation. Appreciate you, Hugh. Defense, I thought, played really well. We touched a little bit about it. Linebacker definitely struggled in pass coverage, pardon me. But defensive line, let's start there. How do you guys think the defensive line did?
Bro, that on the interception, like, what are you doing? You literally let Brenton Cox come off untouched. And said and told your running back, like, hey, can you protect the quarterback? No, you can't. Dan mentioned earlier, Brenton Cox literally sacked Will Levis by throwing an offensive lineman into him.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Gervon played well. Justice Boone's going to be a dude. Like that sack was nasty.
Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about that? That was the most textbook tackle that I think that you can have in that situation.
I was gonna lose my mind if they call that targeting. Like, at some, like, if that's targeting, then just put flags on quarterbacks and just have them pull flags and who, say you can't touch them.
Who was tagged with the 15 yarder for tackling him as he was throwing the ball on his leg when he's throwing the ball into the end zone? It was not caught, but then there was a roughing the passer penalty.
That's a wild call.
That was not. And I think after that happened, I think the Flores defensive line, I thought that the defense played well all game, but you could see after that they were trading. Thank you, everybody in the chat. Trey Dean goes, rushes the passer. Will Levis throws an incomplete pass, but as he's throwing the ball, he gets tackled by the leg. Roughing the passer, don't understand that, but after that, you could definitely see the defense playing a little bit more timid, especially when it came to getting after Will Levis and maybe even causing a turnover. But definitely just some odd calls there, and I'm not one to blame the refs because I thought they missed some calls on the Gators too. But
a lot of holding, man. Like, I could see it from a bird's eye view what I was at, but we was getting held like crazy. As good as the defensive line did do, they were still getting held like crazy, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so defensive line, Desmond Watson plays a lot of snaps. You know, Gervon Dexter has the interception, plays well. Any other thoughts on the defensive line, Nick or Soak, and then we'll move into secondary play?
I think the line did well. They did better. I've been hard on them in terms of run blocking, and I think – or runs stopping the run because they just don't have depth there. But I thought they did better. And then obviously, what do they have? Three sacks?
Let me just double check. I just closed out.
They had three sacks. Bernie had one, Boone had one, and Dexter and Dean combined for one. Dexter and Dean get credit for that, but that was the one that Brenton Cox, you know, threw a grown right. man into the quarterback.
Shout out to Desmond Watson. He's noticeably bigger than everybody, even from the nosebleeds.
He weighs. He's a biscuit away from 460. What do you mean? Yeah, he is bigger than everyone.
Yeah,
he's substantially
bigger. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He walks around like I don't know if you guys remember, like, well, I guess there's that Kanye West video of him wearing those like oversized boxy clothes, but Doug Funny did the same thing.
That's disrespectful, Daniel.
I'm not saying that.
Disrespectful.
That's just, I don't think he listens to the show, but I'm just telling you, that's just kind of how he looks out there. He just kind of stands out. No offense for to sure. the kid. I think that he's playing well. Interceptions, Gators get one with Gervon Dexter, two games into the season. You have Amari Burney interception to end the game against Utah. And then you have Gervon Dexter catch an air ball. Still without any turnovers from your secondary, you guys concerned at all? Will Levis and Cam Rising both threw the ball pretty often. Are you surprised at all that you haven't seen any turnovers by this secondary?
No, I'm not surprised. Trey Dean starts. Rashard Torrence is back there. I'm not mad. Like, I'm not surprised there's no turnovers, man. We don't have ball hawks back there. The corner position, I just want to see more Devin Moore and more Jason Marshall. No slight to the other guys. They just play. Those guys make plays. We gave up a couple big throws. One was a touchdown. But outside of that, I'm not mad at the corners. I think we get some better corner play with the younger boys. But the safety position is a lot to be desired as far as playmaking, ball hawking, that type of stuff. There's no presence, not enough presence from the safety room in my opinion.
I mean, the coverage wasn't even that bad on the touchdown. That was just a hell of a play, dude. He just kind of it was Kimber. He kind of just like boxed Kimber out. They both went up for it. He high pointed the ball like
right.
That was the one where the ball hit the ground. Yeah, remember that one?
The ball hit the ground.
Yeah, it did on TV. I didn't think that they were going to overturn the ball. Definitely hit the ground on TV though.
Yeah, we got a nice boo in the stadium. I couldn't tell. Be honest.
I don't think it was enough to overturn it, but you could definitely see the ball move a little bit, and maybe that it can move slightly. But the way that he caught it, there was no way that you were going to stop that. Make a full, complete catch because there was no support underneath the ball until it would bounce off the ground, and then you could tag it in. But no, I mean that was just you're gonna get passes caught against you, right? Best cornerbacks in the NFL have gotten passes caught against them. Sometimes it just happens.
They played Dean down in the box a lot. They went like single high safety a bunch with Torrence up top, which probably played into Dean leading the team in tackles for a second straight week. But I think I think they're both. I don't know that you have a free safety. I think they're both strong safeties. Like they're both like walk down, playing the box. And like you said, so to your point, though, is you just don't have ball hawks back there. You don't have guys that are getting their hands on the ball.
Yeah, no, I guess, part of it is probably the fact that so many passes have been completions to tight ends, right? In that open area.
And also, Kentucky, if you're not covering the tight ends and Florida has a good pass rush, okay, well, let's negate the pass rush and just get the ball out quick. And I think teams will do that because Brenton Cox is playing his ass off. And I think Florida's got a bunch of guys that can get after the quarterback. So you're going to see teams just use that quick passing game because Florida's linebackers haven't shown that they can cover it. So those are adjustments.
Yeah, our safeties are getting put on these tight ends in some of these positions as well, getting cooked.
I ain't going to lie. I'm getting cooked.
Yeah, no, I thought, another week you don't hear much about Jason Marshall. That's pretty good. I thought, Jalen Kimber's played pretty well. I think Devin Moore is definitely the next guy, that's going to be a potential All-American for the Gators. I think that he's playing well. I thought that Avery Helm had a decent game. I know that he got
– having a decent season. He's not playing bad football.
Yeah, no, not at all. I know the internet was a little upset about him, but, I think overall the cornerbacks are playing well. I just – they're not getting a lot of plays yet, and that's the difference.
More Marshall, more Devin Moore is what the streets need.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind if they're getting subbed out here and there. Just where the snaps are at right now, I think the snaps need to be in favor of more Devin Moore and more Jason Marshall at corner.
Yeah, and I think they're getting there. I think part of that is just, you know, time in the system and just, you know, learning the pace of the game from a Devin Moore perspective. But every time he comes in, he definitely, you know, does well. He's made an impact, and the announcers during the game even mentioned that Devin Moore was having a big impact and definitely one of the bright spots for the future Florida Gators. But you have to be happy with, you know, the youngsters coming in, that, you know, even some of the transfer guys that are coming in to make an impact pretty early. I did see that Ty Bowman was getting some playing time. How about that?
Right? Went back to offense.
Yeah, he's back on offense. Yeah. He's gone from offense to defense, back to offense. Who knows? Maybe a two-way player. Maybe the next Deion Sanders. Who knows? Ty Bowman, next Deion Sanders. Write it down, Nick. Put it on a shirt. Let's see. Okay. We're having people come into the chat and mention. Let's see. Any word on Rashard Torrance? He went down, I know that, on his health, or Ventrell Miller, who left during the second half. Nick, you said maybe an update on Wednesday.
Yeah, Torrance is fine. I don't know that Ventrell. I don't think Ventrell will play this week.
If it wasn't USF, would he play?
No. I don't know if he'll play in 2 weeks.
Do we know what the injury is? I missed it.
No.
It's a good week to miss, I'll tell you that, man. Let my young boys, because we feel good about school. Amari's playing better. We gotta give him credit where credit's due. Amari is playing better. But yeah, let me see what school and you know, the young Shamar James could do a little bit versus a team like USF that shouldn't give us a whole lot of problems.
Yeah.
Scheme wise though, what do you guys thought about the scheme from Patrick Toney and his game plan?
The tight ends are obviously the biggest issue that we have, and I don't know if that's an issue.
I don't think that's scheme. I think that's personnel.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, I think that scheme overall has been strong. Do you guys have any concerns there? I mean, I think the defensive line is doing great. I think that the safeties outside of our, you know, secondary outside of, you know, maybe causing some turnovers, they're playing well. I mean, you know, Utah has a potential first-round quarterback. You know, Kentucky has a potential first-round quarterback. Utah obviously has. Utah obviously had a good returning quarterback as well that put up some big numbers last year. But you know, I think that they've done well, and Florida should be, you know, 2-0 right now if you look at the way their defense have played.
Well said,
Nick. Your thoughts?
I have no problem with his scheme. I thought the scheme on defense has been good. I've seen six DBs on the field, so I think he's trying to do stuff to combat that. I mean, at some point when Ventrell went down, you had Scooby, Shamar, and Bernie in for a lot of the second half, and I think Shamar and Scooby are both more athletic. I don't know that it showed in terms of stopping, you know, the short passes or covering it. And that just might have to come with time with them. But I think Florida's going to be without Ventrell Miller, I think, for a couple of weeks. And you're going to see, hey, are these guys better? Do you see an improved play? And listen, when Ventrell's right, healthy, he's going to play. Like, Ventrell's not getting Wally Pipped. Like, he's not losing his starting job. But if these guys can't help you in that area, you're going to have to start, you know, messing with the rotation a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you just got to hope. I'm liking what I've seen, like, from just, you know, coming downhill with Scoob or in Shamar. I want to see, cause we know Ventrell is a liability in pass coverage. So, we got to see, I want to see one of these young boys, cause they're going to get USF, no matter how terrible they are, they're going to do the same thing and watch the same film. They're going to come pick on the linebackers with tight ends as well. So it's going to be opportunity there. And I want to see how better they cover the tight end position, because everybody got that mapped out for us the rest of this year. And I don't think Ventrell's going to get better at covering wide receiver. I think that's more of our Amari Bernie's strong suit. But Amari Bernie's looking better. Got to give credit where credit's due. He's looking a lot better than he did last year.
Bro, Ventrell Miller, if he was born in 1940, would be a Hall of Fame
in 93
NFL linebacker.
In like the Hall 90s, of fame early
2000s. Yeah, bro.
Yeah, give him a neck roll or one of those.
Yes, sir.
Bro. I love
like Brian
Miller.
Cox.
I love Ventrell Miller. He's just not. It's just like the he's just not good in coverage. But if he was playing back in like Wing T days. My God, be flying to the football.
Well, you got to go way back to Wing Tito, Nick. You just go back to the 90s, man. No. Zach Thomas, those guys, bro.
No,
yeah.
I'm going back to 1940, leather helmets. He would shove that leather helmet right in your chest.
He's probably been the only black guy there, too.
No, I do want to ask. Somebody mentioned in the chat – where's DeJuan Black? I just don't see it. But should, and I'm trying to find. Yeah, he's just not
playing. He's playing some special teams.
Good for him. Somebody said, Money Green said, put Trey Dean in the box to cover the tight end. Not against the idea of trying to figure out some additional help back there. Florida needs somebody. I don't know if it's going to be Trey Dean. I don't know if he's physical enough for that, but.
Only thing I want Trey Dean to stop doing is bragging while we're losing.
It's pretty good ask. Nick's
you
Nick's
said
on
that.
Mute.
You said that. Ask, man. You said that, and you said that, and I instantly saw in my head three or four instances of like down somebody else makes a tackle, and Trey Dean's just like flexing down the field, 10 yards
there was a ball that was thrown very far out of bounds, and he did the the no fly zone. Yeah. Very, very assured.
That's a DB thing. Like you.
He flexed when we was down 7. I almost like jumped over the Champions Club thing. I was like, man, I got to end it all, man. There's no way he's just celebrating. We're down. Like we're against the ropes here. He's celebrating.
It's nuts. Gentlemen, we have Will Turner from 247 Sports to come on to talk about the Florida USF game. Before we do that, let's give a shout out to our friends over at Alumni Hall. A number of you guys reached out saying that you were going to stop by. We greatly appreciate that. Alumni Hall on Archer Road. You can also visit them at alumnihall.com. Men's and women's Nike apparel and new kids accessories on there. Go check them out. A bunch of new stuff for tailgating as well, whether they're tents, tables, chairs, whatever you might need for Gator game day in the swamp this weekend. Go visit them, alumnihall.com, or visit them on Archer Road. Let them know Nick sent you from Stadium and Gale. Will Turner, man, it is a pleasure to have you on. We were clawing up all edges trying to find somebody that covered USF that could tell us a little bit about the team 20 minutes up the road from me. So Will, appreciate you coming on.
I will tell you this: there is a USF Twitter because I said I pissed them off. I said two years ago that Florida losing to USF was a bad loss, and they came at my neck. They came after me.
Woo. And then they went to go win win the regional, too, right after that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. They let me know. They let me know.
Nick likes that energy, bro. He likes to, like, piss people off. That's his vibe. Negative Nick is what we call
it. Sure worked. He sure woke some folks up, man. But
yeah.
Will, are you familiar with Nick from his beef with the USF baseball Twitter world?
Very. I kept it quiet because I wasn't covering baseball, but I just kind of saw because I think you were with Rivals at the time, so I was like, we'll let the Rivals guy make his bed here.
Yeah, they bro, and then
it's a nice little reckoning. I love it.
They win the regional and they go to Texas and they're winning. They're beating Texas in the eighth inning. I'm like, this team can't go to Omaha. I was like, this team cannot go to Omaha. I need Texas. And luckily, Texas won. But my goodness.
He wasn't trying to, like, dog USF. He just was trying to be negative to UF, and it backfired in another way. That's really what happened.
It's just what
I think that run caught like that run caught a lot of folks at USF off guard. I mean, like that was just baseball's a weird sport, man. That's just a team getting hot at the right time.
They were a bad team, and then they got hot and they won the tournament, and they just got hot at the right time. That's what
next going to piss off baseball Twitter again.
Yeah, I'll see you guys next week. I'm out of here.
No, man. Well, Will, we appreciate you coming on the show to talk a little bit about the UF-USF game. Been a tough couple of years probably covering the USF football program. I'm still trying to get it turned around under Jeff Scott, but tell us a little bit about the USF Bulls this year.
Yeah, so they brought in a healthy amount of transfers this offseason, mm-hmm. completely rebuilt their defense. If you looked at their defensive numbers after they fired Glenn Spencer the second to last game of the year. Completely rebuilt their defense with a whole bunch of Power Five transfers. Mm-hmm. Brought in, you know, guys from Clemson, North Carolina, a bunch of places around the country that are evading me right now. But they bring in these guys. They want to change the defense. They bring in Bob Shoup, who was a analyst at Miami at the time, but he's been very well traveled. Was at Penn State and Vanderbilt with James Franklin, was with Butch Jones at Tennessee, spent some time at Mississippi State. So, mm-hmm. You know, a guy that wanted to play an in-your-face style of defense. And to his credit, through the first two games, USF has had more tackles for loss and sacks than they had, you know, in each of the past teams under Glenn Spencer. So that was that's a bright spot. They're just not coming at the right time. A lot of those, they had 11 tackles for loss against Howard last week, and most of them came in the second half. So when the game was kind of put away. So, you know, it's kind of weird. It's hard to vibe on what they really want to do. You know, they're sending, you know, 6-7 guys at a time. They're just getting the penetration up front with the front four to really be able to make a difference. And especially when you play a BYU team that, you know, has one of the best offensive lines in the country with two guys that are probably going to be first-round picks. You know, it's a task trying to get some guys in there that have very minimal snaps because those guys that they brought in on transfer, especially on the defensive line, play a whole lot of ball before that, maybe 50, 60 snaps. Clyde Pender, who was a Florida prospect at one time that ended up going to North Carolina, the former mm-hmm. four-star from Armwood.
Oh, yeah.
He was supposed to be one of those transfers inside the D-tackle room. He didn't see the field this year. He's I think he might be off the roster due to some academic issues. I'm not sure. That's what Jeff Scott said. So the room just keeps getting thinner. Secondary depth is getting thinner with some injuries. So Howard was a win. It wasn't a satisfying win for what they needed to do in that game, though.
Yeah, they beat Larry Scott, who was a former – he was just the interim head coach here at USF, right?
He was the interim head coach at Miami.
That's USF. Right. That's right. He just worked at the USF. That's right. So talk to us a little bit about offense. I know that they've got obviously it's tough to tell, you know, not a great game against BYU and then playing Howard. But what kind of offense is Jeff Scott running this year as he tries to probably in all intents and purposes save his job for the year?
Yeah, I believe they want to run quick game or run a lot of slant, bubble screens, all that good stuff, you know, to try and get the balls in the hands of the playmakers, guys like Jimmy Horn, Brian Batsy, Xavier Weaver, guys that, you know, can make guys miss and make plays. You know, they've got a consensus All-American kick returner in Brian Batsy. Mm-hmm. He had a really good game against Howard on the ground. But they also want to establish a run, just like, you know, a lot of teams around the country want to do. They, you know, with that coach speak. But we haven't really seen that a whole lot in the first two games. You know, USF ran the ball just 11 times in the first half against Howard. They threw it, I think, 21 times. So they, you know, want the passing game to work. Looks like Gary Bohannon, who's the transfer in from Baylor, just wants to, you know, kind of get that timing right with some of the receivers. Seems like they're just off. Couple passes over the head, couple drops here and there. So just not clicking there yet through the passing game. But last week against Howard, the one bright spot was definitely the rushing game. They up in the second half, ran for 205 yards on just 27 carries. So I think averaged maybe 6-7 yards carry last week. And Batsy rips one off for 60. Mikey Duke, the Clemson transfer, rips one off for 28-yard touchdown. Jaron Mangum gets two touchdowns. So, you know, a lot of bright spots there in the rushing game. They had 6 total touchdowns against Howard. So, still trying to find the identity of the offense. In all honesty, if you ask Jeff Scott, I think it's going to come in the rushing game, in all honesty. Just with kind of what I've seen over the first game and a half, because the passing game just isn't there yet with Gary and some of his receivers.
What about the tight end? You guys have a good tight end that
I got a tight end, bro.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I might got a shot.
Yeah, when you talk to Jeff, let him know.
2 hands and 2 feet.
Yeah, Gunnar Greenwald's been pretty good that spot, man.
So that's a guy whose name we got to know for Saturday is Gunnar Greenwald. No matter how good or not good he is, he's going to go ham. He's going to probably have a career day.
Yeah, right. this is going to get him on the scouts board right here.
Hey, the question is if they're going to throw the football to him, because he's only had 2 touches.
Career high coming this week.
They may not have planned for it, but career high numbers coming his way.
He's the good one. He's a Space Coast kid. Had like NC State. I think Miami was on him. A couple other big schools were on him and chose USF pretty early in that 2021 class. So he's a good one. He's another one that just isn't starting for whatever reason currently, when I think he should be the guy currently.
Do you think how do you guys not let the game? You guys are letting the game get away from you in the first half so far this year. How do you not let them spread 24 points? So what can USF do possibly besides feed the ball to the tight end all game to keep it a game?
So in all honesty, right, like I think it's gotta be something with the script, because if you look at how USF has played in their first 15, 16 plays, the script just seems to be a little bit off. You know, early on, they want to go to the plays that they want to hit. Gary Bohannon threw an interception on the first play of the game against Howard. Had it. Everybody like in the stadium on pins and needles, so that was fun. You take a look at USF's first 15 yards per play against Howard, no points but 5.9 yards of play, 42.9 yards per play. Same BYU, a little bit less for USF scoring on the first 15 plays, average 3.7 yards per play. And then the rest of the game, they 4 point yards for a little bit better, really better. So I think you change your play calling in the first quarter. I think you change your script up quite a bit and maybe go towards maybe you try to actually establish the run and you go with some of those guys that had a big game. I think the other thing too is you know, if a guy's hot, if a guy just ripped off a 12-yard run, go right back to him, hand the ball right back to him, or throw the ball back to him. Seems like USF has just kind of gone away from some of the guys that, you know, had been really hot, like Brian Batsy. You know, I keep saying his name, but he's been, you know, one of USF's most explosive backs, and he's only getting 3, 5, 7 yards or 3, 5, 7 carries a game. So I think if you get the hands in the ball or get the ball in the hands of the playmakers, rather, maybe they start faster. I mean, obviously it's a night game at the Swamp. It's a tough environment for anybody to play in. So, you know, but yeah, starting fast is a huge thing for USF right now that they just haven't been able to do.
Okay. If, I got some other questions outside of football, but what do you think about Florida's roster and the matchup wise? When you look at us on paper, I know we just took a loss to Kentucky and, Anthony Richardson didn't run wild this week. And I think that's one of the keys to our offense, but what do you think about the offense or the lack thereof versus Kentucky?
So I didn't get a chance to watch that game a ton just because it was on at the same time that USF played. But, you know, obviously we got to see Florida last year at Raymond James. I like AR-15 a lot. I think
he went crazy on y'all last year.
He did. The one play that went for 80 yards that he think pulled his hamstring on, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
correct.
I love AR-15, man. I think he's going to be really. Now.
He's moved away from his branding there.
Just call him
AR-15. Oh, has he? Oh,
yeah, he's got a whole new branding now.
Okay. But
his stat line was ridiculous. It was like 3 of 3, 2 touchdowns, 115 yards, something like that. Yeah, and
really good.
And then like 4 rushes for like 100 and something.
Yeah, yeah. So I love Anthony Richardson. I think he's going to be a dynamic playmaker for as long as he's at the University of Florida and even beyond that. You know, obviously, UF recruits so much down in the Bay Area that, you know, Ventrell Miller is a guy that I've been, you know, watching for a long time when he was at Kathleen. You know, I wish obviously they would kind of keep some of those guys on the roster. I thought DeMarcus Bowman was going to be a star. Obviously, that situation, I don't know if it really ever got resolved or whatnot, but
he got to sit out this year with you guys, right?
With UCF.
UCF, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yep. He's down the road on I-4.
Yep. So he's with UCF. You know, I'd like to see some of these guys stick. I'd like to see if UF can make a run at Keon Keeley out of Berkeley Prep. But no, they've come down to Florida. Jervon Dexter is another one that I loved coming out of high school as a basketball player over at Lake Wales, has done a really nice transition to that D tackle spot. And then Zach Carter was one of the first guys that I covered when I got into this whole thing about 6-7 years ago. And, you know, he's played really well. So, you know, to answer your question about Florida's roster, especially offensively, you know, I think it's good. I think there's playmakers. You know, I obviously it's game two of Billy Napier, game three going now, Billy Napier's, you know, tenure at Florida. I'd like to see his offensive play calling kind of evolve. I know Florida fans kind of felt that way here and there just from what I was reading on some comment sections this morning. You know, I'd like to see his play calling evolve. I think he was a pretty solid offensive coach wherever, at all the stops that he's been at. So it'll be interesting to see how that roster evolves. But I think they've done a pretty nice job recruiting overall. Especially in this 23 class, I like a good amount of the pieces that they've got and just kind of how they've been able to, you know, get this class where it needs to be from a expectation standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just going through the USF coaching roster right now, some blasts from the past. You mentioned Bob Shoop, Travis Trickett's there. Let's see, who was I looking at? Daquan Bowers is there, former Clemson guy. A guy that everybody knows. And then a name that I had no idea was on the staff, and that's Ernie Sims. Linebackers coach over there.
He's had an interesting trajectory since he left the league. He was at Florida Atlantic for a few years. I think he was on Lane Kiffin's staff. And then when USF pretty much poached FAU's coaching staff when Lane left, Ernie came over and was a support staff member, and then they had some shuffling after Wes Neighbors went to Louisiana Lafayette with Billy for a year. They pushed Glenn Spencer back to the safeties role, and they brought Ernie up to go be the position coach, and he's done a really nice job. You know, I think he's got a bright future in college coaching for sure. I could absolutely see him being a defensive coordinator at some point. USF interviewed him for the job, or at least put in some, his name was in the waters of potentially getting that DC job after they fired Glenn Spencer. So bright mind in college coaching, without a doubt, Ernie Sims.
So Nick, you guys have any final questions? I got one more to take us out.
Have you guys talked to Jeff Scott today?
No, we get him Tuesday and Thursday, so we'll get him twice this week.
Billy spoke very highly of him. They obviously coached under Dabo at Clemson. I'm just wondering, obviously they're both offensive guys, but just wondering how much familiarity they have with each other from being on the same staff and how that will play in this week. Just something probably only writers are thinking of, but something that I thought of today when Billy started talking about him.
Yeah, I listened to his comments for a few minutes and heard that Brad Scott was one of his mentors when Brad was at Clemson. And Billy was at Clemson as well. No, I as far as I know, I'd have to go back and look. But Jeff has always had some good things to say about Billy. I remember I don't think he addressed him last week in the post game presser, but I think he might have mentioned him in the preseason, and said said something about it. I just can't remember off the top of my head, but he's I'd imagine tomorrow he's going to have some good things to say about Billy Napier. He did say that he expects those guys to be prepared and ready to go on Saturday night at the Swamp. So, you know, I'm sure, you know, they've got some good things to say. That whole Clemson vibe is as all of us know, is very family oriented. There's not a whole lot of guys that leave that experience on a bad note or with bad blood with a lot of the guys in that organization.
Hey, Will, how do you guys get back on pace to make that I-4 rivalry, you know, more of a rivalry with UCF? UCF seemed to keep some sustainability as far as relevancy and, you know, competing with the big boys. How do you guys get on that level, man? USF have had some runs, but it's been a struggle of late.
It's just overall consistency. It's just overall consistency in everything between, you know, the administration, the facilities. USF is just now getting an indoor practice facility. You know, that's the shovels went in the ground probably about a year ago this week, I think. Mm-hmm. And there's an on-campus stadium in talks for 2026. But USF has just been so behind on the facilities aspect.
Still ahead of Miami.
Well, Miami's at least got a roof over their building, no matter how long that field is.
Yeah, all 35 yards of it has a roof over.
Right. At least it's right. Something, you know, and they could dodge raindrops. USF can't dodge raindrops. So
you go to the gym. Well, same thing.
I guess. I mean, we used to do that in high school track, man. Didn't do anything.
Florida used to practice not too long ago under the concourse at Ben Hill Griffin Stadium.
But, like, what can you get out of that, in all honesty? I mean, maybe you run some walkthroughs, I guess.
Yeah.
But, no, they've been so behind on the facilities aspect. Obviously, Willie Taggart, you know, gave them some good success in 2016, 2015, 2017. You know, he takes the Oregon job, and Charlie Strong takes over. You know, I know Florida fans love Charlie Strong, but it's very, very different down I-75 when you look at USF's perspective of him. There's a lot of folks that think Charlie Strong set USF back at least 5 years in the recruiting aspect, especially.
Right. I've heard
There were a lot of guys when Jeff Scott came in that Jeff Scott had to just clean the roster. I mean, it was a huge – I mean, there's probably – I think there's only – from the 2017 roster, which is like your fifth year, 6 year guys with the COVID waiver, there's only like two guys on the roster from that season. 18, similar story. There's only a handful of guys. 19, probably similar story. There's so many guys that you look at recruiting classes that just aren't on this team anymore. So from an overall depth perspective, USF has struggled to have that quality depth. And it's hurt their play on the football field, and I think the recruiting has had a lot to do with that. You know, it felt like a lot of Charlie Strong's tenure was him just trying to find his way back to a Power Five job. Right. It never felt like he really wanted to, you know, get the facilities right and do what they needed to do in the off field aspect. Wasn't very, you know, sociable with the fans outside of his few appearances that. You know, he was contractually obliged to do. So, you know, like I said, Florida fans, I know Florida fans love Charlie Strong, but, you know, he really set USF back in a lot of ways. And Jeff Scott's done a lot of good things to, you know, get USF back on track in terms of the off-field stuff, the facilities. He's a great CEO. I think Billy Napier said that today too, and I wholeheartedly agree. He's a great CEO, head coach, you know, great off the field leader, knows how to win. Obviously, was over at Clemson in their run. They know how to win football games. They know what success looks like. They know what off field success looks like. It's just the on-field success, and they've just got to get consistent play on the field. They've got to get consistency in recruiting. It's still kind of yet to be known if these transfers, if the way that they're recruiting with the transfers, the amount of transfers they're bringing in, if that's going to be sustainable, if that's going to work on a year-in, year-out basis. So, you know, they just need overall consistency to kind of catch up to UCF. In that regard, obviously, conference expansion is a whole nother,
right?
You know, layer to all of this. You know, USF missing out on the Big 12, I think it's a blessing in disguise, and I've said it a few times, is they needed to get their house in order. They needed to get the facilities right. They needed to get the off-field product right, the marketing. They needed to get the on-field product right next in order to be able to truly catch up and be able to do what they need to do to catch up in that rivalry. And just catch up in the grand scheme of the state of Florida. I mean,
right.
There's no reason why USF can't compete with the amount of talent in the Bay Area. Obviously, they don't have the endowment Florida has, Florida State, Miami, but they should at least be competing with UCF on a regular basis. And they're just not doing it right now. So just consistency at the end of the day is really what they need.
Yeah, well, that answered my question that I was going to ask as well. But, Will, my friend, thank you so much for coming on, especially on pretty last minute's notice. Let everybody know where they can follow you on Twitter and online.
Yeah, so Bulls247.com is where all the latest USF's content is. We kind of wrapping up this Howard game throughout to today. And tomorrow, and then kind of start my prep for Florida on Wednesday after we hear from Jeff Scott tomorrow. So take a look at the Gators from an outside perspective. Take a look at what USF needs to do to at least be competitive in that game. You follow me on Twitter at WTurner247, and our site Twitter is at Bulls247. So a lot of good content over there as we keep it rolling with USF. I know there's a lot of Gators fans down in Tampa. It'll be fun. I'm gonna head up to the swamp. It'll be my first opportunity to get to catch a game up there. It should be
nice.
Should be a good time.
Yeah. Well, if you look outside of your window here in Tampa right now, it is very swamp like outside. So
yeah, I went golfing yesterday and it was really humid.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. It's raining. It's raining.
It is pouring down rain. I live down here in downtown Tampa, and it is daily.
Bring a poncho, Will. Bring a poncho.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be on field too, so yeah, gonna need it.
Flex on him, Will.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
I need it.
Will, who's that girl? She was like the fan of the year. Pickles.
Sorry to lead the conversation.
Lauren. Yeah,
Lauren. That's who led the charge against me. Oh man.
Yeah, she led the charge two years ago. She's a friend. I've gotten a chance to get to know her a little bit.
We had a good time. We had a good time with it. We went back and forth. Yeah, we had fun with it. She had more fun as I was getting yelled at. But yeah,
yeah. She's funny. She's a hoot. She's been out in Vegas the last week and a half. It was kind of like, man, because UCF lost, USF won, and the Bucks won. So she was like, I just need to stay out in Vegas all the time.
Well, shout out to Pickles. I got nothing but nice things. Got nothing but nice things to say about her.
No, I appreciate it, guys. Man, I love. It was cool to be on a roll up podcast. I was a huge fan of the Big Three.
Oh my god,
Newberg actually trained me. Well,
nice.
Trained being a loose word, but he got me the job. Yeah, so I'm always grateful for Newberg for getting me. Get me started with 24/7, but man, I was a huge fan of a Big Three roll up back in the day. I'm sad it's no more.
Oh, it's the roll up, man. Still good vibes, man. Check us out.
Absolutely.
I love it. Well, thanks so much, Will. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Hey, thanks a bunch, guys. Appreciate y'all.
All right, man.
Bye bye.
Another Will question. She's a hoop. Whoa. What is that? What is she's a hoop? Break that down for me, guys. I've heard that before.
But she's a hoot.
Hoot. Break that down. I didn't know where things come from. I know what it means, but where does that come from?
I think like to like be a hoot is like to be funny.
Right.
You know, so she's just funny. I think people say kind of sarcastically more than anything.
But where did it derive?
Oh,
That's gotta be a Southern thing.
Yeah.
I don't know who the first person to say she's a fucking hoop.
Probably the same person that said. Did you know in Alabama they say when it's like a sun shower outside, they say the devil's beating his wife?
What?
Huh. Yeah. Bro, they say some wild stuff in Alabama.
Why is that? Where does that come from? The devil's beating his wife.
Devil's beating his wife when it's a sun shower. It's not maybe a Southerner can Southerner can hop in the YouTube chat and give us some entomology.
Shout out to Cassidy Hill. She would say stuff. She's from Mobile. She would say stuff, and I would look at her and go, "What?" Something was like, they were so close you could like swing a dead cat at it." And I'm like, "Excuse you?
Swinging
a dead cat?" She's like, "Oh, this is what it means." I'm like, "Why would you ever say that?"
When you said swinging, and then the next word started with a D.
Yeah,
I was worried, I was like, this is a PG-13 show.
This is a family podcast.
This is the family podcast. Let's see here. Let's give a shout out. Nick Silk, we got a new sponsor on the way. Love these guys. Have always loved their products. They did some Stadium and Gale stuff for us a couple years ago. We need to get some new hats out there. We'll work on some of that. Everybody knows my favorite bar in Gainesville is Balls. I have a Balls Last Call hat. I got a lot of people saying, "Hey, is that a Balls UF hat?" I didn't know that they sold gear. They don't. So our friends over at Dome Hats, the newest sponsor of Stadium and Gale, you can go visit Dome Hats.com. You can get your Cam Was Innocent hat, your Rex Was Robbed hat, your Cock Block hat, whatever it might be. Best products out there. Four hats. Jeff Whitaker, CEO, former UF walk on. And then Chris, also a UF kicker. Two guys founded the company based in my favorite city, Jacksonville. But great stuff. Visit domehats.com. Use promo code Stadium Gale. So just Stadium and then Gale for 15% off of your order. So again, Stadium Gale at domehats.com. Click the store button. Also, if you are in the market, maybe you're a promotional product, or maybe you are trying to create something for your business or company or family reunion, whatever it might be, they also do custom products as well. So again, domehats.com. Stadium Gale, all one word, for 15% off. Gentlemen, it is time to do our buy or sell segment, but it is also time to keep us honest. So let me pull up the
I know I got some lies off, man.
First off,
I didn't lie. Billy lied. Billy got to get it together, man. Billy lied. I told the truth.
Shout out to buy or sell Ben. Bro, that's such a dope trip that he's doing. Silk, you ran into him in New Orleans, right?
Right. Great. I love this whole thing. This is going to be a movie one day in my mind.
Ben Chase. We need to make shirts. And we need to make shirts. No, Chasing 60.
Chasing 60. He should chase
Chasing 60 is fire. I like
Chasing
that.
Chasing 60. We need to make that's shirts and just right like send the money to Ben to help fund his minivan driving around.
I don't think he's bought a ticket yet.
I need to get Ben. We need to get Ben on the show and learn a little bit more about some of the logistics behind this, because that's nuts. That's awesome, though. He was at the Texas Alabama game on Saturday. He's been all over the place,
bro. I'm sure there's a lot to it. Like, that's a lot of driving by yourself.
It's a lot of miles.
I'm still recovering from the New Orleans trip. So I'm trying to figure out how he's doing it,
bro. Bro, shout out to Ben. My guy's on the road trip of a lifetime.
I love it, man.
All right. So buy or sell from the Hating Ass Nick episode. Gators win. Bro, we all bought.
That's wild. People are like throwing it back at me. I made the name. Oh.
Yes, you did.
Man, that was a pause.
We all bought that the Gators would win. We all lost. So we are all 0-for-1 starting it off. I am just pulling up some stats here. Number two, Montrell Johnson leads the Gators in rushing attempts. I believe he does not. He only had seven, although he had a great seven rushes. Trevor Etienne had nine. And I believe Naquan Wright had 10. He had 8. So we all bought and we all lost. So we're all 0-4-2. Gators throw for 2 or more touchdowns. Nick, of course, sold. Silk and I bought milk. Nick wins.
Milk.
Gators threw 2 games without a passing touchdown, unfortunately.
Stop making me and Nick Della Torre or like
Nelk.
Bradgelina or some shit, man.
Yeah, I like it. It's been a year and a half. I don't know why I keep saying it, man. I don't know, man. Just got to slow down here.
We're not an item, dog.
Yeah, he's shipping us.
Milk boys. All right, let's see. We have. Sorry, I'm just double checking here. Turnovers. Gators only get 1 interception, no other turnovers. Gators forced 2 turnovers. Silk and myself bought it. Nick sold. Gators do only end up with the 1 interception from Gervon Dexter.
Hating ass Nick did all right this week.
Yeah.
So yeah, Nick, buddy. I'm taking the lead.
Nick has 2. Silk and myself have 0. Gators have 3 or more catches by tight ends. I'm about 95% positive that did not happen. Let's see. Keon Zipperer has 2. And
Xander's dropped 1.
Xander's dropped 1, and he had 1. So it is a win for Dan and a loss for Silk and Nick. A good opportunity to use Nilk.
I'm missing terribly this week.
So Silk goes 0-5. Dan goes 1-4.
Me and AR had a bad week.
Goes 2-5. It's pretty bad overall.
You went 1-4. 1-4-5 or 1-4. You said you went 1-4-4.
Yeah, 1-4. Sorry, 1 win and 4 losses.
I think that means we're all tied up. I was 1 back on the 2 of you after week 1. Yep. So I'm 1 up this week.
We're going to have Ben Chase and 60 add a opportunity to add in what our buy or sell record is. Right now, none of us are looking too good, so please don't take these bets to the bank. Let's see. In other betting news, Anthony.
I'd be positively wrong, right? Then negatively wrong, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
The same results, though. But.
In other news, Anthony Richardson's Heisman odds go from plus 1,400 to plus 2,000. Still the highest-ranked quarterback in the state and 6th overall behind Stroud, Williams, Bryce Young, Stetson Bennett, and J.J. McCarthy. The Gators, I believe, are 24.5-point favorites, but I am going to double-check that over USF. Yeah, Gators 24.5-point favorites. Over under is 59. So the buy or sell for this segment is the Gators win by 24.5 or more. Nick, buy or sell?
Buy. Florida's covering.
So.
Buy or sell what again? I'm sorry.
The Gators beat USF by 24.5 points.
I'm buying it. For sure. They better come out pissed off and do what they got to do.
I'm going to buy that as well. Over-under is 59. Buy or sell, the Gators score – or the combined score is more than 59.
Gators score more
than – No. The combined score is more than 59 points.
No, I don't think they're going to do a lot of scoring, so I'll sell it.
What was the last year? Last year was 42-20. So, damn, that's close. So we're going to take the under.
I'm going to take the over on this one. I think the Gators score a lot, and I also think that USF is going to score a few more points maybe than they did last year, maybe even in garbage time. Buy or sell, Anthony Richardson throws for more than 225 yards.
Sell.
Yeah, I heard you the first time, Nick.
325.
No, 225.
I'm buying that.
I'm going to buy that as well. Buy or sell? This is a fun one. Trevor Etienne and
Etienne.
I know how to spell it. Mispronounce it a lot. Him and Montrell Johnson account for 75% or more of the rushes in this game from running backs.
That's weird, though, because it's like that's you're only going to have three running backs. Actually, you're getting some garbage time. You might get the, I'm going to sell. I think Florida, you get into some garbage time, and I think Lorenzo Lingard gets a bunch of carries late third, fourth quarter.
What's the buy or sell? One more time.
Buy or sell that Trevor Etienne and Montrell Johnson combine for 75% or more of the rushes by running backs.
Yeah, I'm going to sell that.
I am going to buy that. And only because I think Trevor Etienne has earned himself the opportunity to get some more playing time, and I still think that he got an opportunity to make a big impact, and I think that Florida will be blowing out USF in this game. And finally, buy or sell, the Gators secondary forces an interception.
I mean, they almost got to his USF, man.
I'm buying.
Buying it.
Buying it as well. So, Ben, if you could throw a tally of where we are at right now, that would be awesome. Gentlemen, any other thoughts before we close out today's show?
What do you guys want to see, like, this USF game? We all think we're going to blow this team out. It shouldn't be competitive after the first half. So, yeah, what do you want to see from offense and defense in this game?
Nick?
It's weird because I just sat here and said, like, you need to lean on people. You need to run the ball. I want to see Anthony Richardson get his confidence back. Like, he's too good of a player to be stuck in his head. So I want to see him get his confidence back, but I also want to see Florida just impose their will. This is a get right game. Like, you're coming off a loss. This is what the doctor ordered. You have more talent. You're bigger. You're stronger. You're faster than USF. Go out there and show that. And I want to see some of the younger guys get some looks. Maybe see Marcus Burke a little bit. You should have an opportunity to get younger guys some run this week.
Man. What you got, Dan?
Yeah, no, I think on offense, I think you want to see Anthony Richardson return to form. You want to see him making good decisions. You want to see him build some confidence. USF is not good. They're not much better than they were last year. They did get a number of transfers, but I don't think that really helps them. I think you want to see him get consistency. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you want to see the linebackers really continue to improve in coverage, because I think that Florida's going to play a number of really good linebackers this year. And if they don't figure it out against USF, they've got some big issues starting the week after with Tennessee.
Yeah, I want to see – a lot of these times fans want to see the young boys get reps in games like this, but offensively, I want to see these boys work. I don't care if it's four quarters. I want to see them work on some stuff and then get out of here healthy. You know what I'm saying? Tennessee's a road game. It's just a live scrimmage. And I don't think we're going to be full on tackling in practice like that and being that physical. So I'm just seeing this as a full blown scrimmage and opportunities to just work on some things chemistry wise between AR and the wide receivers. Some of his touch stuff. It's just an opportunity to work. Defensively, we've already said, I want to see how the linebackers with Ventrell out, see how these young boys can run with the tight ends, if they could cover a little better. And also the safety. Let me see what McMillan looked back there. You know, give Kamari Wilson and some of those guys opportunity. Now on the defensive side of the ball, I would love for some of the young boys to get some opportunities when we get up a big lead. So let's play some of the young guys on defense. I think offense needs work and to get some chemistry stuff and to find our identity. So that's what I hope to see out of this game.
Donovan Pickmillan. I might go out on a limb and say he gets an interception this week.
Wow.
You play that boy, man.
Yeah, I haven't seen him a ton, so I'm a little bit on special teams during that game, but haven't seen him a lot. But, you know, certainly I think looking back, pretty proud of the defense so far this season. Let's see in other news. Don't know if we have a ton. Scott Frost gets fired from Nebraska. Could have worked three more weeks and they could have saved $7.5 million, but they chose to fire him a bit early. Big bread there in Cornhusker land. Are you guys surprised it didn't work out? No, I mean, I don't know enough about Nebraska football. I mean, I know that they're not probably ever going to restore greatness, but
listen, if Scott Frost can't do it, I mean, you're going to get a kid from South Florida to go to Lincoln, Nebraska. You're going to get a kid from California to go to Lincoln, Nebraska. You have to go and recruit Ohio. They're not going to Nebraska. They're going to Ohio State, or they're going to Michigan. They're going to Kentucky. Nebraska is it's a bad job.
It's tough.
They used to run the option, and they were on TV, and everyone wanted to go there, and it ain't a job anymore. Like, Nebraska's like the worst team. Like, they're worse than Rutgers in the Big Ten. That's tough.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're very different than Rutgers. I mean, you know, Nebraska is a cool campus. Lincoln's a fine town. It's not too far from Omaha. Certainly not the most ideal situation, but you're right. I think from a recruiting perspective, especially a lot of that homegrown talent from, you know, the Midwest there, it's now so much easier to travel and go elsewhere. You know, you can watch games from teams from, you know, all over the country on TV at all times. So, you know, the want and need to stay home just so your family can see you is certainly not there anymore. But very surprised it went as poorly as it did over there. I know that there's a lot of just weird situations, weird games. But, you know, a lot of Gators fans clamored for Scott Frost instead of Dan Mullen. Both fired within two games of each other.
Both are very rich.
Both are very, very rich. Yep.
I think Heupel is just pretty much staple alongside Josh Heupel. That seems like the brains of the offense that they had at UCF. Heupel's at Tennessee now.
Yeah,
things are a little different, but I just think Scott Frost wasn't the brains behind that when it came to play calling.
Yeah, it might have got a little bit of lightning in the bottle. Certainly, the schedule wasn't all that great. They did beat Auburn, you know, but certainly, just a little surprise he couldn't figure out. Couldn't figure out much. I know they've got a number of names. Matt Campbell, Mark Stoops was on that list.
I don't think Mark Stoops is going anywhere. This is a cool name to bring up right now.
But I guess it just depends on how much money you can throw at somebody. You know, does a Matt Campbell leave an Iowa State to go to Nebraska? I don't know.
I'll go coach Nebraska.
From Kansas.
I'll do it with a nice buyout.
And Dominican Sue was listed at 25-1 odds.
Don't send me an invite, man.
Hey, you want to be the DB coach? Linebackers, you can coach whatever you want.
I might turn it down, dog.
Be recruiting coordinator. Well, I don't know what your buyout's going to be, but I'm going to have a nice fat buyout. We're going to lose a lot of games, and I'm going
to. I don't think my family's not going to come with me to the cornfields, Nick.
Yeah, for the right buyout. Listen, we're getting fired in 2 years.
That's the goal. Yeah, we are getting fired.
We might not make it to November.
Yeah, you might pull a Will Rigger, you know, get fired even before your second year.
I like it.
Beautiful. The quicker I get to the buyout, the better.
You got yourself a DB coach, man. Let's do it.
There, we're in.
I love it. All right, boys. True Classic Tees, go visit them. Use promo code SG25. So True Classic Tees, that's TEES. com/SG25 or SG25 at checkout. Great premium quality t-shirts, workout apparel, polos and dress shirts as well. TrueClassicTees.com, promo code SG25. Silk, I think you have the song of the week this week, my friend.
Let me see what I got here, man. Let me get Blacks, Talk to Me Nicely. Just something simple. Get us up out of here. BLXST.
Oh, I remember. Because you played that a few years ago with a mod.
I did. I played him earlier.
Oh, you did. Maybe it was you.
Yeah.
I played him earlier this year. I like him. I mean, I don't know what in the world how he came up with that spelling, but I like his music.
That's how they're doing it these days, man.
Well, we appreciate everybody that watched on YouTube, everybody that did a super chat. Boys, we will see you at the same corner and same time next week, hopefully after a win over the South Florida Bulls.
And stop being toxic fans, man. Y'all got to know how to take wins and losses, like stand up gentlemen, man. Some of y'all like embarrassing.
You're embarrassed?
No, I'm not really embarrassed. They're embarrassing themselves.
Right.
They're embarrassing me. But some of y'all are embarrassing, man. Take a loss like a man, bro. Some of y'all look crazy and just start, you go from AR hype to just, yo, the kid's trash. Like, you got to have some type of middle ground or some type of balance in life, man. AR is going to be all right. Y'all just
somebody tight. Tweeted me the other day about sitting him and starting Jalen Kitna, who I don't even believe would be the next person off the bench right now. But to start
the next person off the bench is Wildcat offense.
If you scroll down like six tweets that he said, he was pumping that AR Heisman train, right? A lot can change in five tweets.
Can be unhinged, man. Gotta keep it together, bro. Losses are gonna happen in this game, bro. Like, it tells you a lot how you take an L and you know how you whatever. We out of here, man. Same corner, same time.
Hey, I'll be reporting from Vegas next week. So, boys.
Look at you, man. You and Ben, man. Just two in the world.
That's right. I need to see if Ben's going to be out in Vegas sometime. All right, boys. Same corner, same time next week.
For sure.
And you better talk to me nicely. Next to blow, little bitch, I might be. Can't forget all the days they overpriced me. So now that we up, don't get advice, we know. Talk to me nicely. I notice they hit it, we getting icy. Whoa. Can't forget all the moments they overpriced me. So now that we up, don't get advice, we know. We on top, flipping the bird, they going sick. But I'ma make them eat every word, so don't trip. Yeah, even with all the bridges they burn, I won't switch. Even with all this water we dripping, we won't slip. Yeah, Blast Bear Bond in the building, he don't miss. But we call it success when your circle is all rich. If you a big stepper, don't trip over small shit. I call it how I see it, but never gon' call it quits. I won't, yeah, I won't. But what about older niggas? I don't even know. I think that we finally made it, it gotta be so. The way they be pocket watching, they gotta be bro. Not even my partner, but calling me bro. To get it straight out the bottom, you gotta be bold. Hate it or love it, the underdog's on top. I'm only motivation for ones who don't got no. And you better talk to me nicely. Next to blow, little bitch, I might be. Can't forget all the days they overpriced me. So now that we up, don't get advice, we know. Talk to me nicely. I notice they hit it, we getting icy. Whoa. Can't forget all the moments they overpriced me. So now that we up, don't get advice, we know.